going today?
Oh, it's going long. It's we're still here, still doing it.
Yes. Isn't that exciting? We get another chance.
We get another chance to what are we getting another chance at?
To let life move through us with no resistance.
How's that going for you?
Well, I mean, based on yesterday, I guess that's why I got another chance.
Oh,
today. Well,
do you want to tell us what happened yesterday?
No, I'm joking. It's always a new challenge, but at least I know like what the goal is, I think.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm working on.
So you don't have a story about yesterday?
Not really. Just accepting life is going to be my bumper sticker.
Yeah.
When we open our merch shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we going to open a merch shop?
Well, I think we have a lot. I mean, I have all those t-shirt ideas that we can.
Are you going to tell me your best guy is on it again?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. But I feel like this is our outlet for being politically incorrect and serious and hilarious at the same time, or at least to attempt to.
Yeah, I agree.
So this is our playground.
Yes. So I'd like to talk about the upcoming midterm elections.
What teams are playing?
The good guys and the bad guys.
I see.
That's funny. It's up to you to know which is which.
I feel like I should invite my extended family before we have a discussion like that.
Yeah. Okay.
So we need to choose something else.
What's that?
Choose something else.
Yeah. Well, I definitely have a very busy inner and outer life right now, and lots of things, ideas to share, but they just started in the last 24 hours colliding with each other, and I didn't have a clear idea what I was going to bring in today. I mean, I'll throw out a few ideas.
Sure.
Let's do it. Well, one of the things that I had been playing with people that I was working with has to do with, I say there's four levels of the mind, meaning there's four minds. And if the linear mind is the one that we just all refer to as the mind, that what's extremely problematic about living in the mind is that the mind is linear and sequential, and like the joints and ligaments in your body and like the bones connected by these, there's this kind of pointed, like static, where people, when you're using the mind, you're looking for like the right answer and the right way, and it's all very fixed to create structure. And what I notice is that when I'm in relationship with people who live that way, they often really miss the point, ironically, by searching for the point. And the point being that the journey of going through things is the point of the journey. So oftentimes people who live in the mind are looking for answers of right and wrong, systems, religions, philosophies that they can just sort of stick to, actually to avoid feeling and avoid being in the flow of the moment. Follow me so far?
Yep.
I'm sure you do. Yeah, so...
Isn't this what we drilled in school for like 12 or 14 or 18 years?
Yeah. And of course, some of that's come apart. Like, you know, well, we know that, you know, the people who win the war get to write history, and like that so many things that we're told about how things, what we are told at school are these things that we're supposed to memorize that tell us what to think. So yes. And in my case, coming from a Jewish background, I'm not personally was never really an intellectual, but Jews really value the intellect. And so information and data is more important than the heart, unfortunately, or can be. more important than the heart, and that people who are accomplished or people who are really very rational. And so what I notice, one more side tangent, there's the story about the science teacher, and this is about the mind, where he brings a frog in to dissect after lunch, and he puts it in a paper bag, this frog, and then he also puts his lunch in there, and he's got a sandwich, and then he comes in after lunch and he looks in the bag and the sandwich is there, and he said, "I remember eating my lunch." So the point of that is it's about being absent-minded. It's about being in the mind so much that actually you can be this person analyzing data and really and be completely blind. So what I notice is that people who live in the mind tend to get really fixated on data and find things and make things very complicated. And when I'm, let's say, working with somebody, just as an example, because it could be just talking to someone, when working with someone who's telling me what their problem is or what they're grappling with, they always want to give me a lot of details, and it feels very complex to them. And what I will then say is I will try to get them to tell me the point at which the problem started, like where it is and what the problem is, because there's just all this information that they have to have in the space, and they'll give it to me in a way because they want me to organize it with them, which I can do because I'm very good at holding details and reframing them. However, sometimes that data is just, it's wasted information because the person doesn't know what's important. So lately, what I've been asking is to find out the moment that they went into confusion or resistance or into a problem, and a person won't be able to do that. And this is what I came to, which I throw out to you, which, thank you, took me 7 minutes to say, is that I feel that, well, my breathwork teacher, who, God bless him, was a terrible human being in many ways, but he did have one thing I'll quote him for, which is, if you can't solve it now, it's not a problem. So it's that what people need to learn how to do to become an authority of their life is to find the first moment that it goes wrong, the first moment of resistance, the place of confusion, the place of, I don't know what to do. Because it is from there that everything else happens, and that people find themselves getting caught up in all the peripheral and extraneous things that happen after the fact. And the reason why people don't find that moment is because they're moving too quickly. And moving too quickly is part of it's a habit, it's a speed, it has a momentum, and it's part of the mind's journey is to move quickly through all this information. But the person who will become autonomous and become their own author and authority will go slow enough, no matter how much it makes them feel, to find the one moment of confusion. Because that moment of confusion or resistance or difficulty lies in all the makings of the universe within you that are trying to transform you and give you the light, give you the truth, give you the fulfillment of your life purpose. But you're missing it because you're speeding by it. And then you're getting caught up in all the problems that not seeing it created.
Are you saying this point is the cause of the problem? Or are you saying something different?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I wasn't saying it was the cause of the problem in that. I was really saying that it is the problem, which is all resistance has to do with, in some way, being ignorant and not knowing how to be with what's happening. But you have to know that that's taking place in order to change it. And if you're moving, speeding by it, you don't. So it both is the cause of the problem, I think it's the cause. It's the cause of.
So the point at which your lack of perspective or understanding kind of gave birth to what you're racing through now to try to solve?
Ooh, say that again more slowly.
Are you saying that this is the point at which some lack in you, whether lack of perspective, lack of correct frame,
inability to get to the truth in that moment.
Yeah, you missed it. Yeah. And now you have created this adventure for your mind that is trying to find its way through or out or whatever.
And really, if you could go slow enough to capture that moment of unknowing, you could relax and settle into it. Look, nothing wrong with not knowing anything. Nothing wrong with making mistakes, being ignorant, not having solved the problem, not being in charge of things, losing control. It's the all the judgment and the subsequent problem solving, attempt to problem solve, and kind of interpretation of that moment unconsciously that causes you to create so much more of a ripple than is necessary. That really, I'll give a very practical example. Because we love martial arts. If I could do this in music, could do it in anything. But this student of mine was talking about, she was having all these problems, like learning a certain set of movements, and gave me a bunch of reasons, all kind of true, about why she got confused in this whole last section. So she was saying it was the whole last section. I said, where did it begin to go wrong? And she didn't know. But the thing is, she said, I made a video with you, but it was sort of backwards, and then you were turning around, so then my move, and it was all about kind of the camera and all this kind of thing. But there's one moment where you don't know what to do next, because if martial arts is the internal martial arts is the universe in motion and in perfection, no resistance, you know, total flow, then there has to be a moment where it stops being natural. It's not the Tao. It's not the perfect yin and yang. If you don't recognize that you're out of alignment in that moment, everything else you're going to do is going to be continuing to be, you know, out of alignment. But the second that you can feel that wrong moment, you can ask a question and you can solve a problem. But most people, particularly in the West, are moving so fast because of the training of the mind to solve everything. And the mind's thing is to move quickly, like their lion's chasing you, better run, like get as much information, stuff it in, go to school, you know, the bell rings, go to the next, like that people don't have any internal clue to say to them, slow down, relax, like be with this moment that you don't know. That's a good thing. Because in that moment is God. It's because if the reality of the perfection of the universe is within every single moment, all the time, it's only really for you to find it. But everybody's so busy finding it that they're speeding past the moment.
This reminds me of my 20-year journey to find my purpose. And I laugh about it now because, number one, I don't know that it's impossible to find something you never lost. And number two, no one ever stopped me to say, hey, maybe your purpose is just to be Jason, which would have set me on a very different journey to try to figure out what it meant to be Jason instead of
what
trying
purpose
to figure
were
out
you looking for?
Jason's purpose. I was trying to figure out what work I was here to do. I read all the books, Poe Bronson, Who Moved My Cheese, Where's My Parachute, whatever, all of them. Trying to sort out how best to apply myself to the world. Of course, never looked in because I didn't have any answers there. So me getting to wherever this place was very important because that's what we're all trained to do, right? Destination living, I guess you could call it. We're all trying to get there.
Yeah.
And then if you're lucky enough to practice some sort of art, like music for me, and of course, martial arts, you realize there is no there ever there. because the minute you're there, you're also not there. And so then you realize, well, I'm not even sure actually if I'm moving through life or life is moving through me, I'm probably not going anywhere. I probably haven't gone anywhere. And maybe the universe has moved through me. That might be my working idea at the moment, but we're kind of describing similar things, going on journeys that don't need to exist because they are somehow separate from what is.
Well, the Sufis call it lila, which is play.
How do you spell that? Do you know?
What's that?
How do you spell that word?
I think it's L-E-E-L-A.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's the idea that, you know, there's like, I'll just do a couple Rumi quotes. Like, you know, sugar couldn't taste its sweetness, so it created the ant, or, you know, beauty seeking a mirror. So the lila is the journey that you don't need to take that you need to take, I guess.
Yeah.
Like you had to take the 20-year journey to find out that you didn't need to take a journey at all.
That's right. That's
and
the
that's the
part.
Journey. Yes. Yeah.
So I have two questions about what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number one, what part of you or what part of someone is the one that is responsible for the beginning of the problem? And then what part of someone is the one that should own the resolution of the problem? Are they the same parts or different parts?
Sorry, say that a question again.
About these different minds.
Yeah.
You mentioned that when this split from kind of truth happens, then our conscious mind really kind of gets that monkey chatter thing going and we run and go too fast. Is that what created the problem? Did something else? And then what part of us or what mind or what part of our being can bring us back?
Well, when I use the word minds, like the four levels of the mind, I'm speaking about functions, processes that one is in charge of using correctly. But if we're talking about the operator, that's different. So suffice to say that understanding the different levels of processes, so just go with the regular old mind that you have, you aren't the mind. That's one thing you would learn if you were doing Vipassana, if you're doing meditation. It's like, oh, if you can watch the mind, then you're not the mind. So it's that the beginning of the journey, and this is maybe a little separate from my original point, but I think the beginning of one's path, the beginning of the awakening, is to recognize that something needs to be different, let's just say, that things aren't what they thought they were. And then you begin this journey. And that journey of seeking happens within the frame of who you are at that moment, where your human self is, because of conditioning, because of trauma, because of all these things that occurred that you chose and had as experiences, whether you knew it or not. And it's from there that your flawed seeking, if you will, begins. But it has to begin somewhere. So maybe you take 20 years to come to one small realization about the journey. So am I answering your question?
Yeah. I was just curious where the problem, what creates the problem, and then what creates the resolution?
Well, I think it's, if life's a mystery, then I don't know what creates the problem. It's kind of like, why are we here?
Yeah.
The lila is, because all is God, there is God is the mirror, is the ant and the sugar, is the mirror and the beauty. It's playing, you know, there is an Arabic saying, Ishkala Mabudlila, God is love, lover, and beloved. So God's playing all the parts in the movie. So really, this is just the play, and our forgetting and misunderstanding, or however we describe it, is part of God's play, part of the lila.
So maybe the problem starts because we believe something that's not true, and then we can fix it when we open our eyes enough to resolve that wrong belief.
Yeah, and some people, most people maybe are not going to be called in a lifetime to question what's right or what's wrong. Like, truly, you know, self, the path of awakening is the becoming conscious is I use this analogy with the breath work, that the lungs are the only part of us, the only organ system that is can be operated manually or automatic. So as a metaphor for living consciously or not consciously, if you don't think about your breathing, it just goes on. You're an animal, unconscious, no problem. You'll keep breathing. You'll still be alive. You don't say, I need to breathe or I'm going to die. You don't need to do that. Your animal self takes care of it. But the moment you start to think about your breathing, you actually can do something with your breathing in a way you can't with your liver or whatever. But it's the same with your life. Some people are called, hopefully people, likely people who are listening to this podcast, that when you're called, you begin to see that you can be automatic and unconscious, or you can be manual and start to shape it. And that is the beginning of the awakening. That's the beginning of the journey, the conscious self, when you start to say, oh, wait a minute, like I'm in control of my destiny. Like I can choose. And I think that the ultimate point of what we're doing here in the podcast is to say, you choose all of it, even to be unconscious, you choose.
I think I'm on another one of these journeys. We should probably give a name for them. When the problem starts, whatever that thing.
Yeah.
With money. Also yeah. Multi-decade.
Let's so process it.
Very religious, right? Money yeah. was evil, but I liked watching Richie Rich. And so
yeah.
from right there, I was schizo on the inside. Like
it's your, this it's thing, your porn. It's your porn category.
It. Yeah. It's terrible. Money. You're not supposed to have it. And my parents talked like the only people that had money were greedy people. And so all yeah. of this was in there. Right. And so, but then I got into business. Then I wanted money. And
yeah.
so these decades have been about how
which
to
is
get
the
it.
Same thing from the opposite side, right?
It's the same vibe. Yeah. And so I realize now I don't quite know the answer, but I know there is an answer because I can feel it already. And it's that just like finding my purpose was the wrong question. Getting money is the wrong motion. And what I feel is that money is to be received, not gotten, right? Not chased for, but opened to. And I've spent my whole life doing the opposite. And so now I'm trying to shift the way that is all spinning, because to me, it feels like most of my problems with money over the years have been all of the obstacles I have that keep the energy out versus not being able to go get it. I thought I had a deficiency and needed to learn the go-getting of it. What I really had to do was deconstruct the obstacles that are keeping out the natural abundance that the birds have no trouble receiving.
Well, there's a lot of interesting things what you're saying. For one, it sounds like you're saying that there was an idea that you had lack, and now
it's the same thing. I thought I lacked a understanding of my purpose,
yeah,
because I couldn't see that I was my purpose, and I thought there was a lack of money, and I had to get it,
yeah.
And so, and I'm seeing that just as backwards.
And in some way, seeing the lack of money fulfilled the belief of your lack.
Yeah, perfect you alignment.
So on one hand, if you're thinking about, well, what's my personal responsibility or opportunity in this, it sounds like you're saying it's to shift your perspective from getting something to being open to something. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, and even more oppositely, giving. Like now, like the image that I hold in my mind is I'm this cup, right? And the abundance in me is overflowing to such a degree it floods the world and I get plenty too.
Yeah. Well, we just got to use words. There's no other way to do it, but you're talking about money, but we're really not talking about money, because money, besides just being a construct, it's more, you're talking about, like when you're told you shouldn't have money, but if we don't really believe in the matrix, yes, of course we still have to use money because that's where,
that's where
you're going to get your drink from the store. You're going to pay for it or whatever.
Yeah.
But, and so whilst we are both saying like, you can do this without being in the matrix, we have to acknowledge that it's not free from this. I'm just trying to form the right way to say this. So it's that if we even use the word money too much, it can be like a brainwashing because it makes it think that you are seeking something out in the world. You're just finding a new way to do it by shifting your perspective. But really, it's not money that you're looking for. It is what we said at the beginning. It is seeking the moment of lack in you, the place where you feel separate from the abundance. Because if existence is giving you life, which is itself unbelievably incredible that you're even here, like that's abundant. And every moment is an opportunity. I believe this, but it's my experience that every moment has so much potential in it, then really what you're seeking isn't just resources, because that will follow on its own, but seeking an end to that sense that you're missing something, that you're lacking something, which, as in your case, was part of your training early on, that is inside your wiring that you have to constantly be aware can be manifest.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing I did with the search for purpose. The minute that perspective shifted, the lack disappeared.
Yeah.
Money is harder, I think, because it's so ingrained in everyone's cells and the story of it.
Yeah.
So I expect it to take a little bit longer, but you know, to me, like saying you're the authority of your own world doesn't mean that I get to speak into being manifestations in the matrix. It means that I get to take total ownership over my relationship with everything in the matrix and how it affects me in the moment. And that's really what I'm working on here, right? Redefining my relationship with this moment in terms of my perceived abundance or lack.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. It's a comment and a question, because one way I know that it has worked through me even recently is that often when I was out of money, because I'm not somebody, I mean, there are people who, you know, especially get older, they have investments and they buy properties and they do this whole thing. I just didn't do that because I just, for the amount of time I have on earth, like it wasn't, much as I would love to be wealthy like everybody else in terms of the matrix of money, I wasn't going to put my time and energy towards doing it that way. So I just run out of money and then I go looking for ways to pay bills. But I always have found almost unanimously that every time I go out to do something to get money, something happens that is part of the next part of my journey that I didn't know about. It's the money makes me, I think I'm going out to seek something, like to get work so that I can get money. And I always end up meeting someone or doing something that is so unrelated to the initial effort I had, but was it in fact more likely the intended purpose of why the universe drove me out there in the first place. And that always took care of the resources, because I've never really, you know, I've always been able to eat or whatever. I mean, sometimes things are lean or whatever, but my point is that the need for money, even if I knew it's not really the thing, that motivation always it's like God sent me out in the world to look for money so I'd find something else I was looking for.
Yeah.
Do you relate to that?
Yeah. I feel like we kind of all have our own ever-evolving story of how that can work for us. Whatever mm-hmm. that mechanism is that you're describing, I think we all have one, and they're all different, which is why you can't just read a book and like have your life change. Like,
yeah,
because it may have nothing to do with
you. Or go listen to Jeff Bezos or someone saying, how did you make a $500 billion? It's like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like the blueprint of looking at the people who have what you want and doing what they did to get it, to me, is insane.
Totally. Yeah.
Because I did it for so long and it doesn't work. I know it doesn't work. And it only works for like maybe two people, and then they are enough of influence because they get on the magazines and they get books about them and movies, and then everyone believes that that is true and it's fake. True for them.
Do you think all the people out there, and of course there's been probably thousands upon thousands of books and even famous people who've talked about how they made the road to success. Certainly when I go through airports, which I will be doing tomorrow, there's always like right at the front at the bookstores in the airport, these books about from famous people about how they got famous. Do you think that the people who write these books, whether they write themselves or ghostwriters or whatever, believe that they're helping other people and that they have a way that other people could also benefit from doing?
I think they believe it.
Or do you think it's more...
I think they probably believe it. I mean, when I write a book, I believe that I'm helping people, but no one ever tells the people, and I am one of the people on the other side too,
yeah,
that, hey, this story is their story.
Yeah.
And if you read it without understanding, that's fine. I didn't for so long. I read all those books and I did the stuff and it didn't work for me. And then you get annoyed, or if your confidence level is not high, then you just think you suck, which is also a possibility that you're trying to disprove. All mm-hmm. that time, I could have just discovered my own story, because all those books, pretty much with very rare exception, do illustrate a very valuable point, which is that no one knows what the hell they're doing ever until it works.
Well, you could argue that those books were the teacher that gave you the lesson you needed, because
yeah, and in yeah. that way, very valuable. I was just too dense to understand what the lesson could be from most of those.
You know, to me, this is just a classic me story. I went to Hawaii. My mother's sister's family lived there, 1987, 88. And I was trying to make a record. I was writing to, because I was going to make a record. And I, but I was really just getting into the beginning of spirituality. And I brought a book on channeling, Silva Mind Control, and Uspensky. And I remember reading like Silva Mind Control, like I guess it was 20. Four, and just like trying to do whatever the method was, and just feeling it was just like going to school. Like I just couldn't do it. I didn't, and I was so, and channeling. It was like, okay, I'm going to do some channeling now. I'm going to try to channel. And then I had started doing some writing, like, and I was writing some lyrics, and I went out to the ocean one day with my papers, and they all blew out into the ocean and I lost everything.
That is a you story. That is pretty funny.
Right. And I channeled all the, I'm only just realizing it just in this moment, because I didn't realize, oh, it did work, because I ended up writing the whole album in about the lyrics for the whole album in about, you know, a day or two while I was there. And I kept being frustrated that this stuff didn't work. And I was reading these books on whatever. And meanwhile, I lost the papers and I ended up writing a completely different album, and it only took me a day. So I don't know, maybe I did learn something by channeling. But my original point of the story was, I remember trying to do Silva Mind Control going, like, it just didn't work for me. Any kind of visualization of something always felt like pressure, torture, stress, mental, it was a tension. It had a tension to it. And I always found that anytime people were trying to teach me things, there's always a yeah, I have to learn in my own way. I'm definitely one of those people that can, like, if you're going to teach me, you have to teach me how to be myself. You can't just give me information because I won't absorb it.
It seems like the worthy pursuit is to discover yourself and to be that person, and then to remove all the garbage that keeps you from being that person and just become an ever evolving story of your own that really has nothing to do with anyone. And so what anyone thinks of it kind of doesn't matter. People's advice about it may or may not matter. And if you can feel that this is part of becoming the authority, it took me a long time to be able to feel it because everything in my childhood was pointing the opposite way, but that mm-hmm. you are the center of your universe. Like mm-hmm. that's a profound position to take. Mm-hmm. And when you view you as this enormous being and everyone else is tiny. And of course this is relatively speaking, I mean, because in your story, that's exactly the truth. And it just reorients the way you feel. And you don't feel like the world is so big and you're a peon, and you don't feel like everyone else has it right and you're sucking. And so that's one habit that I practice, is flipping that back around and restoring myself to like the king of my own kingdom that I'm living in.
Mm-hmm.
Are we allowed to do that?
I don't know. Again, you're going to have to, I'll have to take that back to the committee. I'll get back to you next week. We can start next week's podcast, whether you're allowed Thanks. To do
and
this.
And I'll get my prescription filled before
Do you
then.
Think you're allowed to do this?
Of course. I just yeah. can't believe it took me so long to figure out that I should do that. That's the funny part.
So in caps, summate again what it is that you can do and are doing, just as our closer.
All I'm doing is we're all on a path of mastery of our embodiment of the present moment. I think that's all we're all doing. And so
yeah.
we're and living when our you, own story, and we're the star, and we're also all the villains.
And I will wrap up my part to say, when you're wondering where to begin, it's not as complicated as you think, and it's not as big of a problem as you think. It's not the whole section of a piece of music or a form or a book you're reading or even your job. It's a moment, one moment that you constantly lose your autonomy to because you're going too quick and you're not letting yourself live inside the moment of the first problem. Try to slow down and capture the moment where you feel the disconnection and explore it.
Cool.
Okay. Okay.
All
Until
right.
next time.
Very good.
Got me working, boss man, working round the clock. I want me a drink of water, but you won't let Elijah stop. Big boss man, can you hear me when I call? Well, you ain't so big, you're just tall, that's all. Well, I'm gonna get me a boss man, I'm gonna treat me right. We're coming.